Good evening, everybody. It's great to once again be able to share the word with you. I've been looking forward to this, and I trust this what the Lord has impressed upon my heart will also be a blessing to you too. But let's just for starters just bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you are the sovereign Lord. You are the great creator, Lord God. You are the great master painter, Lord. That you have credited each one of us uniquely, Lord God, in your image, but Lord, uniquely with different talents and abilities, Lord God, that you have built us to be able to work together and to bring our strengths together, Lord God. And Lord God, we just thank you that together as a church that we're able to press on, Lord God, for you have already conquered those things that would stand against us, Lord God, but you enable us to press on to reach those, Lord, who desperately need your help, Lord God. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that as your word is shared tonight, Lord God, that each one of us here tonight will just grab hold of what you have for us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I actually titled this message, "You Are God's Masterpiece." But as I began to go through and looking up the scriptures and putting words down on paper, I got into looking at other aspects too that I just felt that God wanted me to share tonight. Things such as how important encouragement is too, and how important encouragement is to help our brothers and sisters press on, particularly in times of where there's a feeling of failure, or perhaps when the first time you try something you fail, quite often when we fail at something we get discouraged, and how important it is for others to sort of get round us and to encourage us to press on to meet the goal that perhaps the Lord has put in our hearts to achieve, and also tonight I'd like to look at the aspect of an aspect of praise, not so much looking at praising God, but how important it is that we should be exalting each other when we do succeed in something, perhaps when we do achieve those things that God has put on our hearts, and it's good for our brothers and sisters to acknowledge those things as well, and for us to acknowledge those things in each other when we do succeed in certain things. First, I'd like to look at Exodus 31. Verses 1 to 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. You know, no matter what you bring to God, even if your ability or gift or talent seems unimportant, nonetheless, you are still God's masterpiece. Often we judge ourselves quite harshly in that we think what we have to bring is not of any value, is not of any importance. But I tell you what, you know, what the strengths that you have fills a gap that might be missing in the church. It fills a gap that might be missing perhaps in the workplace or in the community. What we bring is important, no matter how we may judge it. What God sees, we often miss out on. We often don't see the value that God sees in us. Let's look at these five verses here. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have made selection of Bezalel, the son of Uri, by name, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have given him the Spirit of God and made him wise and full of knowledge and expert in every sort of handwork, to do all sorts of delicate work in gold and silver and brass, in cutting stones, of framing, and to do every form of woodwork." Just thinking this sort of skill would be quite handy at the moment for the multipurpose room, wouldn't it? We could use perhaps some of those skills, but even though we don't perhaps one person who has all of those skills, you'll find that we have a lot of people in the church who have different skills that are able to combine to complete a work like this project that we've been working on during the course of the year. And I'll just go through some of the skills that I guess I've noticed in this church. And I was quite astounded as to how many that I've been able to find. And it's definitely probably not an exhaustive list. But we have people skilled in many trades. We have people who are skilled in plumbing. We have people skilled in electrical work. We have accountants. I thought I'd mention that. We have people who are skilled in project leading, people who can cook, skilled in hospitality, administrators. We have counsellors, musicians, preachers. We have sound engineers, people who are great at encouraging. We have leaders and managers. We have engineers. We have people who are draftspeople who can draw structures on paper. Businessmen. We have businessmen in this church. We have script writers. And perhaps we don't have script writers in terms of people who work in that area, but we have people who are gifted in writing things like plays and so forth. And I won't give anything away, but we have, I'll just give a little teaser, Kids Connection celebration that's coming up. Is a work that has been done completely within this church, from the script to the parts and the things like that. And stay, make sure you're here for that, because it's going to be magnificent, and a lot of work is really going into it. Songwriters, we have people who can write songs in this church, and I'm sure before long we will see the fruits of that. We have people who can design costumes, people who can make costumes. We have people who have artistic abilities. We have teachers, camera operators. We have someone in this church who actually operated a commercial camera as well. We have people who have great wisdom as well in this church who we can tap into and who are willing to share those things that the Lord has also put in their heart. And yes, we have IT people. We're people who work computers as well in this church. And that's a very important skill, I'm sure. Yes, Joyce, yes, absolutely. So, wow, you know, we do. I mean, that's a list of, you know, about 20 to 25 items that I have got there, but there are so many more skills that we have, talents and abilities, things that perhaps we are using in work, you know, perhaps in the workplace right now, but also things that are hobbies and things that we just enjoy doing that can be of real value to this church. So if you can look at that as being a list of perhaps people of skills and abilities that are in this church, imagine the church as a whole. What an enormous abundance of skills and abilities and talents in the whole church. When you think, not just perhaps the church in the Western region, but also the church in Australia and not just the CRC, but around the world. And yes, there's also lawyers and politicians as well who are Christians. So let's go back, looking still at this verse here, in chapter 31, verse 1 to 5 in Exodus. There are some important points there that I'd like us to focus on. And the most important point that I see there, firstly, is where it says in verse 3, "And I have given him the Spirit of God." So here is this man, Bezalel, who is skilled in all these wonderful things of being able to craft things with his hands. And perhaps in the natural, he's probably very well skilled. And there are tradespeople, cabinet makers and the like, who are, you know, quite well skilled in using their hands. But you see, God gave him his Spirit as well. And when God does that, it's like, I've written it here, that it's like an awesome injection of power and ability to the things that we already are good at. So God injected his Spirit into Bezalel and was able to do magnificent things. It was like he was so empowered after that he was able to create some wonderful things. And if we look on there, it also says that through the Spirit of God, he was made wise, that God gave him wisdom, knowledgeable, that God imparted his knowledge to him, and was made an expert in his trade to do all sorts of delicate works in gold. Perhaps he did such delicate works that even today, with the technology that we have with lasers and things like that, are we able to perhaps match the sort of things that Bezalel was able to do with the power of God? If we look at the next scripture in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, it says... Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, go through that. I skipped through all of that. Sorry, Matthew. It says, "Jesus, looking on them, said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.'" So here, you know, there's a promise for us that through God, you know, we can be empowered to do things that other people would think impossible, that in the natural mind we would think are impossible. God can do that for us. So when we are in part of God's kingdom, as I said before, we have access to that awesome injection of power and ability to the things that we are already good at. So we already have strengths. We come into this church. We come even before we were born again. There are things that we enjoyed doing that perhaps we were really good at. But once you're empowered by the Spirit of God, after you're born again, then God can use that and use that to further His kingdom. And there's an injection of power in that. Each of us here has something that is of value to someone else in the community, someone in the church, and the church itself, and the kingdom of God. We have no excuses to not take an active part of the church family. We all have something that we can give, and God can use it and take it further than perhaps what we can imagine ourselves. And if you don't feel that you have anything to contribute or give, then some of you have heard of the SHAPE course that and it's now finished, but the SHAPE course, when it will eventually be run again, I'm sure. There'll be an opportunity for it. And it's a course that goes for about 5 or 6 weeks and helps us identify those things that perhaps we can use for the church, those things that we are good at, those things that we have a passion for, those gifts and talents that we perhaps didn't think could fit into the church. The SHAPE course helps us identify those things, and secondly, also identify how we could use those things in the kingdom of God, in the local church. So I really encourage you, if you struggle in determining those areas, to look out for when the next time that course is run. The next thing I want to look at is attitude. Because attitude plays a big part in terms of how we use our gifts and talents and how effective they are in being a blessing to somebody else and being a blessing to God. I mean, most definitions I've looked at that refer to attitude really stops at what our likes and dislikes are. If you have a good attitude to something, then it's something that you generally like. Or if you have a bad attitude to something, it's generally something you don't like. But when it comes to service and giving, attitude really starts with the heart and is a consequence of our motivation. And in fact, if we look at it in a certain perspective, if you look at passion, motivation and attitude, the three of them are so related to one another that one is a driving force for the other. So when you're passionate about something, when you find that passion for something which really grows from the heart, it stirs up a motivation to get something done. And in that motivation to get something done, that's when you're demonstrating a good attitude towards those things. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to have a good attitude towards the things of God and a good attitude towards our gifts and talents so that we can use those things. So we could firstly see how we can use them for the kingdom of God, but then also to embark on that journey to actually use them for the kingdom of God. Essentially, we are motivated by either one of two things. We are either motivated by serving ourselves, or we are motivated by serving the kingdom of God. You can't be motivated by both at the same time. It just doesn't work. It's like the scripture where it says that you can't serve two gods. You can't serve mammon or money, and you can't serve God. It's either one or the other. How we're motivated is similar. We can't serve ourselves and we can't serve God. We've got to choose. So to serve ourselves is to please ourselves or to further our own cause, to perhaps further our vocational pursuits or our job pursuits, or perhaps to try and gather as much wealth as we can so that we can have a sense of feeling comfortable or have a sense of freedom through wealth, which, you know, doesn't work that way. Or happiness, the pursuit of happiness. People often will try and pursue happiness and quite often in doing that, the focus is on oneself. And more I don't think I've ever seen a case where anybody has actually achieved happiness through the pursuit of happiness as such. So this, of course, is what we would all consider to be a selfish attitude, and is one that is self-seeking and self-serving. And you can't hide selfishness. Like, you can't come to church being a selfish person and not share that attitude in a sense. That when you're selfish, it's not like you can hide it, because it shows. It shows in how you act. It shows in the things that you do. It shows in how you carry yourself. It shows how you act outside of church as well. So it's not something that you can hide. And in fact, nothing really brings that out more than if we look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects a person. So the heart, what's in your heart, it really reflects on who you are as a person. And so it's not something you can hide. You can try and hide it. You can try and be someone, during the 4 or 5 hours that you're perhaps at church or when you're at home group, and sort of put on an act. But at some stage along the line, something's going to happen that's going to show who you are, who you really are. But I don't want to dwell on that too much, because what we want to do, we want to be motivated by serving the kingdom of God. This is what, as a Christian, this is what our heart is. Of course, what is expected of us by the Lord, is expected by our Lord Jesus of us, who says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But let first care be for his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you in addition." So here's an awesome promise too. And many of us are familiar with this verse. It's one that you learn pretty early on as a Christian. And that is that if we seek first the kingdom of God, if we seek to please God first, then those things that our heart would normally yearn for, now they'll be fulfilled. God will find a way to fulfill those things in us. That he won't leave us uncontent. He won't leave us without joy. That he will fulfill those things in us. And we will feel complete. With Jesus in our heart, with the Holy Spirit being our strength and our guide, fulfilling the things of God, you know, that's what's going to bring us that contentment, that joy, that completeness. There's another scripture verse as well, which I haven't got down in there, but it talks about how we can either gather treasures on earth or gather treasures in heaven. But if you gather treasures on earth, then it's susceptible to being robbed or eaten by moths, as the scripture says, or perhaps a stock market crash might dissolve it all, or things can happen. If it's on earth, there's a chance it's going to go. It's a chance that it can be lost. But the Bible assures us that treasures that are built in heaven are those things that will last, that they are eternal, that they will not go away. And so when we're investing in the kingdom of God with the gifts and talents that, after all, God gave us, I mean, God gives us our abilities. He gives us those passions of the things that we enjoy doing. It's all from him. But it's all from him so that we can channel those things for his purpose. They're not there for just for our own pleasure, although because we're passionate about certain things, obviously it brings us pleasure as well to carry those things out. But ultimately, they're there to further his kingdom, to bring people to Christ, to build his church. And so when we're doing those things, we are actually building treasures in heaven. So that's the words of Jesus, to look at building things in the kingdom of heaven, because that's where things are going to last. So this can be a difficult concept for us, particularly a new Christian or someone who is considering perhaps accepting Christ into their heart. It could be a difficult concept because when you're talking about building things in heaven, in our natural state, it isn't something that is necessarily tangible, is it? It's something that there's a faith. We have to demonstrate a bit of faith or outwork a bit of faith in order to believe in that. So as we sort of come into grips with that, we can find that a difficult thing to sort of understand. But when you look at the examples in the Bible, particularly when it comes to putting God first, and then all these things will be added unto you. When you think about how people such as King David did that, I mean, King David, God had given him a whole kingdom because he was faithful, and he had a heart for God, as the Bible says. You look at someone like Job. Job was a man in the Bible who went through tremendous hardships and lost all his wealth. He was a wealthy person, lost it all, and lost his family as well. And he was afflicted with terrible diseases on his body. But even through all these things, he never once lost faith in God. That his heart was always towards God. And because God had noticed that and saw that, he re-blessed him. And in fact, he blessed him many times over after going through those things. So, you know, we can hold on to those examples in the Bible. We can look at people within the church as well who have been healed from various things. Lorraine Dixon healed from cancer several years ago. We've got Hayden just recently. God's been doing a work in him as well. You know, by exercising our faith and being faithful to God and carrying out what God has put in our hearts to do for him, God will meet our needs. And he will bless us in return. So let's have a look at the third aspect, praise and encouragement. We'll have a look at the verse, Galatians 6, verse 4. But let every man make test of his work, and then will his cause for glory be in himself only and not in his neighbour. Be careful not to be self-seeking in the work that we do. God sees the heart and whom we do it for. You know, sometimes when we're doing a lot of work, and it's good work, you know, not necessarily bad work, we're perhaps doing some good work, perhaps, you know, in the church or in the office or at school or whatever the case may be. Sometimes doesn't it get to us when someone else gets the credit for that? You know, sometimes we allow ourselves, someone else might get the credit for the work that we've, you know, and we've sort of helped, but we don't get mentioned or we don't get a pat on the back for it. And sometimes we can get a little bit frustrated with that. But, you see, if we have that attitude, what we're doing, we're not working for the greater good, which is, the good of the church or the good of the kingdom of God. We're actually, our motivation or our attitude in that instance has been for ourselves, and we're looking for the praise for it. And so we have to be careful that we don't fall into that trap. That we don't go around looking for praise, do we? We go around, we do the work because it needs to be done, and because it's showing our love. It's demonstrating the love that we have for our brothers and sisters, and also for the Lord. So one thing we often fall in the trap of doing is seek the praise of others for the work we do. This is a symptom of selfishness, and it is because of our desires to be highly esteemed by others, and so that may get the better of us. So that's something we need to sort of put our hearts in the check about, isn't it? That we don't go around doing things to be recognised. That if there's things that we can do in secret or in silent, let's get those things done in secret and in silent, so that it would bring a blessing to someone else, to the church, or to the Lord as well. If we have a look at similarities and differences between praise and encouragement, from the perspective that I'm looking at it, praise is simply acknowledging the good work of someone else. Okay, I'm not talking about praising the Lord here necessarily. I'm talking about how sometimes when we acknowledge that someone has done a great job, we want to recognise them. We want to show them that we appreciate the work that they've done. So that's a good thing. It's a good thing to do that. And we don't always... I'll go back. I'm not sure what I was going to say there, so I'll go back. While encouragement encompasses that, so when you encourage someone else, we're also showing them our appreciation and giving them praise for the things that they're doing. But it goes further into acknowledging the effort and heart behind a good work, even if the result may not be successful, because sometimes we're not always successful in the endeavours that we have. Sometimes we feel that God's put something in our heart and we faithfully go ahead and we do those things, and maybe it didn't work out the way we expected it to. But you see, sometimes you have to fail to succeed as well, if you understand what I'm saying. There's sometimes when you fail at something, you've learnt things, so that when you attempt to do those things again, you remember how the mistakes that you've made before, that you the next time you do it, you don't do those same mistakes again, and so you have a better chance of succeeding. So both praise and encouragement are very motivating, and is designed to help the receiver to press on with the endeavour being pursued to the best of their ability. Because the last thing we want to see is people get discouraged if they have had a setback in something. We want to get behind them. We want to help them to press on and do the things that God has put onto their heart to do. And that goes to circumstances as well. Sometimes people have had hard circumstances. They've had some difficulties in some of the things that they did. Perhaps family situations. Perhaps work situations. You know, like at the moment with the current economic crisis, there's rumours of jobs being laid off and perhaps work being cut back and things like that. And that can be depressing for a lot of people to go through such things. So, you know, we need to get behind them and encourage them and help them to press on and to continue and to not be discouraged by what's going on around us. Because at the end of the day, what's going on around us has got nothing to do with the kingdom of God. You know, it's a worldly thing. It'll come, it'll go. There'll be some hardships, I know, and perhaps some people will find it a lot harder than others. But at the end of the day, it's got nothing to do with our salvation. It's not going to affect our salvation unless we let it get us down to the point where we get so discouraged that we turn our backs away from God. And I pray that nothing like that ever happens. So at the same time, it is nice to be acknowledged and to receive a pat on the back. And there are many encouragers in the church who do that to build and strengthen us. You know, we have a lot of people in the church who are very sincere. You know, I'll rephrase that. When people encourage us, I know it's sincere, you know, and particularly in the church, people are going to encourage you and build you up in a real heart sincerity. And there are a lot of people in this church who are gifted in that area and who love to encourage us and to see us all grow. And, you know, we need to be able to receive those things and not... Sometimes it's easy when someone is giving us a bit of praise or encouragement. It's easy to sort of say, oh, you know, it was nothing, or, you know, just play it down a little bit. We have to be careful we don't do that as well, because we're basically just nullifying the work that God is using them to do. So it's important that we receive those things and allow ourselves to be encouraged and to build us up so we can press on. So be grateful and receive encouragement and praise. However, at the end of the day, we should never go out of our way to try and seek it. Don't be discouraged when the good work you have done is not acknowledged or praised. In fact, Jesus made a point of even doing good works in secret. And if we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Thank you, Rashan. Take care not to do your good works before men, to be seen by them, or you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So there it's a pretty strong thing that Jesus is saying here, that we don't just do good works because it's going to be seen by someone else. You know, we need to do good works because our heart is to see other people blessed, or others blessed, to see the church blessed, to see God blessed. That's really our motivation. And if that's our motivation, we're not even thinking about a reward. But hey, we're building a reward. It's an interesting dynamic that goes on there. But on the other hand, if we're seeking a reward here on earth, we're seeking to get something for doing something, then what Christ is saying here is, well, there's no reward in heaven, you've received it on earth. So where do you want to build your treasures, on earth or in heaven? So I think about the awesome work that is done in the church that often goes unnoticed. But you see, the fact that it goes unnoticed is actually a blessing. But having said that, we can't do everything in secret as well, can we? I mean, we have to work together in a lot of projects in order to get things done. If you're looking at the multi-purpose room, multi-purpose area there, a lot of people have worked together to get things done. If we're all going to do those sorts of things in secret, then probably only the stumps will still be laid because everybody will be walking in at either the crack of dawn or maybe 2 o'clock in the morning or maybe at 11 in the night so that no one else sees them so they can get a reward in heaven. So at the end of the day, the heart is to just get the job done. And if it means working together as a team to get it done, then let's do that. And there'll probably be quite a bit of acknowledgement to the hard work that gets done in doing that because people are seeing it. But you're still going to get a reward in heaven because at the end of the day, it's your heart, isn't it, that's important and what God sees. So it's not a bad thing to do things. What I'm saying, it's not a bad thing to do things not in secret as well. That, you know, sometimes we have to do things with other people to get the job done. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "Your Father who sees in secret will give you your reward." So the caution here is to not do good works for the purpose of receiving praise and from one another. We should do good works to further the kingdom of God and benefit those around us. It ought to be a practical expression of our love as described in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And we'll read that out. It says, "Have love for your Lord, for the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and for your neighbours as for yourself." So this really is the motivation. Christ here spelled it out, what should be motivating us to do our good works. And that is the love that we express it through many ways, and part of it is doing the job, getting the job done as well. Getting the job done to the best of our ability. So this is the motivator, is the love. The encouragement is for us to do good works whenever the opportunity arises, whether it is in the sight of others or in secret. To do it with the right heart, not to do it only when we can profit from it. And a good example of that, and I won't read it, but a good example of that is the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 35, and I'm sure we all know the story of the Good Samaritan, where a person walking along the road gets attacked, and quite a number of people who are highly esteemed in the community just walk past and don't offer him any assistance after he's been severely bashed. But a Samaritan who in the day, in that time, was considered almost like an outcast, in a sense, to the Jews, walked by, saw this man sort of in the street, sort of in a bad way, and gave him made sure he had the proper medical attention, made sure he had shelter, and made sure there was enough money for him to get the care that he needed. Now, the Good Samaritan, the natural, didn't get any reward. As the parable goes, but you know his rewards in heaven would have certainly have increased, and he didn't profit from it here on earth. So there is no job too great or too small that we cannot do it. There is no opportunity too obscure or too grand for us to pass up. If the job needs to be done, whatever the circumstance, the right thing to do is use our best endeavours to get the job done, from picking up the pieces of paper lying on the carpet to taking a moment to greet new faces that walked into the church and later introduce them to someone else, perhaps to a pastor or an elder or a home group leader or whoever, just so that new people in the church feel welcome. But then I've also got a little section here, things we should not do. There are some tasks that I should not be doing. Now, none of you say preaching. No. For instance, I probably shouldn't be doing any electrical wiring. Okay? I'd probably kill myself. So, you know, there are things that I probably shouldn't be doing. I probably also shouldn't be drawing up plans for a new church either, a new church building. Because when the time comes that we outgrow this place, yes, we're going to need someone to draw the plans for a new church building. Anyone say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so there's some things that I cannot do for my own safety and perhaps for the safety of others. So we just have to be careful. We can't do everything. There are some things that we're not trained to do. There are some things that are just plain dangerous for us to do. So we have to just be careful of those things. And that's just the common sense thing. So, but however, having said that, the wonderful thing is about being a part of a church such as Westvale is that there are other people here who can make up for my limitations. So I can't draw, you know, a grand church, you know, that seats 3,000 people. But there are people in this church here who perhaps can get such plans started and perhaps source out the right people to get those plans done. And also looking at encouraging others. We've talked about receiving praise and receiving encouragement. But also, just as importantly too, we need to be looking for opportunities where we can actually encourage others and to give them a pat on the back for the good work that they've done as well, to build them up. Encouragement, as I said before, helps motivate us to press on when we may be contemplating with giving up. You don't know. There might be someone who is planning on giving up on something. Maybe someone who may be feeling so upset or whatever the case may be that they're ready to just give something up that you know or isn't right or perhaps looking at whatever the case may be. I mean, there's a lot of people will do extraordinary things through disappointment and discouragement, and sometimes God will put us in a place so that we can offer them the encouragement they need so that they can press on with whatever the circumstance is that they're going through at the time. Encouragement acknowledges the value we place on the other person's endeavours. Encouragement builds us up and strengthens us when we need it most. So bless one another with encouragement. It's very important that we do that because there's a dynamic that's built from encouraging one another. And we all grow together through encouragement. So going back to God's masterpiece. Remember, each one of us is God's masterpiece. We are created in His image, but we are also uniquely fashioned. We are unique because God wants us firstly to rely on Him, but also to work together, combining our strengths to fulfill His great purpose. So if we look at 1 Corinthians. Thank you. Who was first on the buzzer there? Was it Matthew? Well done. Okay, and it says, "And there are different operations, but the same God who is working all things in all." So, and I'll read that again. "And there are different operations, but the same God who is working working all things in all." So there are different things that need to get done. But God uses us all in a wonderful symphony or harmony to get the job done. I mean, we're all different, we're all quirky in our own certain way, and and you know, probably none too many who are as quirky as I am, I guess. But despite all of that, despite all the things that you know, that might rub other people the wrong way and the like, God will use us all together as an instrument for his purpose. And that's why we're together in this church, to be used as an instrument for his purpose. And his purpose, if you don't know already, is simply to just see souls saved, to see hearts come to Christ, to see the brokenhearted be healed. That's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about what's outside those doors. So that is, despite our differences in gifts and talents, God is able to use us like pieces in a jigsaw puzzle to fulfill his purpose. And finally, I'll conclude. Sometimes after the last good work is done, whether we have received praise, encouragement or not, our Lord Jesus Christ himself will utter the words to us. If you'd like to bring up the last verse there. And this is what we will get. This is it. This is the prize, if you will. This is the reward. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and true servant," or faithful servant. "You have been true in a small thing. I will give you control over great things. Take your part in the joy of the Lord." When you think Donald Trump is in control of a big corporate empire, I tell you what, he has nothing on the empire that God has. God controls, God, everything belongs to God, and he will put us in charge of various aspects of his kingdom, and not so that we can have power necessarily, but because he can trust us and our faithfulness through the things that we've done during our life here on earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for all the awesomeness that you are. Lord God, you bless us so much, Lord God. Lord, help us to see the value that you've instilled in us, Lord God, to do your good work, Lord God. Let us not just leave things for someone else to do, Lord God. Reveal to us, Lord, those areas within your kingdom, Lord, that you would have us to make an impact in, Lord God. Use us, strengthen us, use us, equip us, Lord God. Allow your Holy Spirit to guide us and to empower us, Lord God, to do those things and to complete them to successfulness, Lord God, so that not that we will be glorified, Lord God, but Lord, that your kingdom will be expanded, Lord God, and that ultimately you will be glorified through it all, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. You loved us so much, Lord God. You love us so much. You gave your Son for us, Lord God. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that now that we are saved, Lord, that we know your Son Jesus, that we can carry on the good work that your Son has left for us to do, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.